Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I says to Mabel, I says, "Oh, hey, I didn't see you come in. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Gamescast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, solo right now because we have a very special episode of the Gamescast for you. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be our Callisto Protocol spoiler cast with the one and only Glenn Schofield of Striking Distance Games. Of course, he is the CEO of the studio, the game director on the Callisto Protocol. He came through and did a sponsored stream with us, and we said, hey, let's do a spoiler cast while you're here too. And he said, sure. So we brought in Blessing, we brought in Mike, and we brought in all of our burning questions for him. But we don't have all day with him, so we recorded all of that. None of the intros and outros. So I'm here to tell you that this is the Kinda Funny Games cast each and every week. Four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table coming to talk about video. That's fine. Yeah, I can add a little bit there. Coming to talk about video games, all the things they love, all the things they hate, and sometimes all the things they can spoil. If you like that, of course, you should be part of the show. You can write in at kindoffunny.com/gamescast, I assume. I've never, right? That checks, right?
Yeah. Fair.
Check that. Make sure it's not K of Gamescast. I think it's Gamescast. Of course, you can support the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get each and every episode ad-free. You, of course, can watch this live as you record it when it's not embargoed. You, of course, can get it alongside 38 episodes of monthly exclusive content all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames.
You were right, Greg, by the way. kindoffunny.com/gamescast.
Thank you very much. If you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Of course, you can get the show for free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. And if that wasn't enough, you could support us for free by using the creator code kindoffunny on the Epic Game Store when you're buying stuff like Rocket League and V-Bucks and all that jazz. And if I don't play on PC, it's on there. You can use it on the Xbox and the Switch and the PlayStation and all that jazz. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. This, of course, is your Callisto Protocol spoiler cast. If you've wandered in here and made it this far and you're like, oh, what the heck? This isn't your only games cast of the week. We're just putting this up here. This will be here when you're ready. Go beat the game. Go have a great time. You haven't beaten the game yet? Nope. Don't rush it. Save this podcast. It'll be here because we're all going to come together and we're going to talk to Glenn about what happened in this game. You ready? Let's do it. As I live and breathe, Glenn Schofield. Hello, sir. How are you?
Wow. Thank you. Thanks for having me, man. This is very cool.
11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
The first interview on Up at Noon. Me and Glenn right there. Two babies in the industry. We didn't know what we were doing.
That was fun, yeah. I was looking for the shirt, you know, for today.
I assure you, none of that fits me, nor do I own it anymore.
Yeah, I was going to give it to Bryce up back.
Thank you so much for coming in to join us for this spoiler cast. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed the entire intro and didn't understand, this is a spoiler cast. We are going to spoil the Callisto Protocol. You should have played it. Feel free to save this episode for later. It won't go bad like milk. It'll be here once you've played it. So this is your final warning to get the hell out of here if you haven't played it, all right? Great. Glenn.
Yes.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job on this
game.
Good job.
Yeah.
Great job.
I had quite the time playing this. You know, we've already, at this point of recording this, we just did our stream of it where we were guarded with what we were saying a bit.
Yes.
I had to explain it to my wife last night.
Okay.
Because usually I'm not that animated playing games.
Okay.
And last night there was literally a moment where I rolled over the couch and I'm like, oh, fucking come on!
Oh, really?
And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, it's the two-headed vagina fucking body man.
Right,
like, I gotta see this guy.
He always appears at the worst times.
Exactly!
Too.
And it's that thing I had to explain to her. I'm like, you know me, and you know the kind of games I like to play.
Yep.
And I usually don't go to the Dark Souls, the Elden Ring, like, let's beat our heads into it. And I'm like, this is a little bit of that, but it's not. Because the way you make games and the way you do survival horror, I always feel like I have a horse in the race. I can get around pillar. I can do this thing. If I would have just shot or dodged here, it would have been a different story.
Right. Well, yeah, we talk about each encounter. Like, we'll go, you know, it's okay to die five times here. Mm. But no more than five, right? And if we start to see that, we'll go, okay, pull it back.
Yeah.
This one better only be two. right? So we will go through and say it's okay here and there. We'll do it with other things. It's okay to miss a scare, but they better get the next one, right? Because we know it's interactive, and we want that. We want that crosstalk. But yeah, I mean, there are times where we go, hey, you know, with the boss, I don't actually care how much you die.
Yeah.
As long as it is, you know, because there are some people who will get through it in three times.
Yeah.
Others, even hardcore gamers, it may take them 10 times.
Well,
they may be going at it a little wrong.
And like, that's what I love about it is I know there's a right and wrong way. Blessing crossed the finish line on Clisso before anybody else in the office. And when I was catching up with him a little bit about it, he had said, yeah, you know, at the final boss, I ended up dropping the difficulty just to be able to do
yes, we've heard, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was so psyched up for that. And then I beat the boss on the normal difficulty first time, no problem.
The final boss?
What? Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Gamer.
See, that's great.
But hours before, I texted Blessing. I'm like, the two-headed guy. I have already beaten three of them. I am on the fourth one, but I'm clearly missing it because the ones before that I bought extra ammo and I just unloaded constantly. You had to be like, well, when he's down, you hit him with the thing. And I'm like, well, when I hit him with the thing, I just get the rainbow icon. I've only torn him apart once. And it was like, oh, I'm trying to hit them. I need to use light hit. And it's like,
Okay. It's funny when you messaged me that last night, that even occurred to me because I really use the hard hit. Yeah. Like, I was very much all about the light attacks. And like, for me, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the combat specifically because it was so involved. It was so, all right, there's a process to each different kind of enemy, right? Where it was, all right, the two-headed guys, it is, all right, knock them down. They go down on their knees once. Cool. Beat them up, and that then starts phase two. Then you get into that phase two, and you do the same thing again. What amped up the last one for me wasn't even the idea of ammo or whatever. It was the additional enemies that were around.
Sure.
And that is actually what I like about the action in the game is that it is more contingent on the setup and composition of, all right, how many enemies do I have coming at me in any given time, and how do I separate them and deal with them at the same time? Because that was the thing that got me, where it was, but the two-headed guy is coming down the hallway, and then there's like
the crawling exploding man.
Yeah, there's crawling exploding man, and then there's a runner that's behind me. That took me legitimately like 6-7 times. About the seventh time, I was like, all right, there's no way I'm going down. Like, I got this. I got to figure this out, and I like that kind of puzzle with it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's funny, because Ben Walker and Steve, who work on like some of the details like that, they'll, I'm like, man, I couldn't beat them yesterday. And they're like, added two more. I'm like, come on. And I'm like, they come out of the dark, you know, and we changed the lighting. I mean, it's not just like, oh, there's a light, I'll add more enemies. It's like, move the lighting around, change the sound, you know, okay, we got to hear them in the dark. There's so much nuance to that. And that's what we want you to really immerse yourself, see things, hear things, because it is an immersive thing, and that's also going to help you. Use your senses, and you'll be able to get through them a little bit easier. But sounds like you, man, you nailed it, dude.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, sure. You saw me failing on hardest difficulty minutes ago. Man.
The audio was a big one for me as we talk about, like, the cycles and trying it again and learning from your first ones. The audio was a big one for me is where I would hear him, and I'm like, okay, he's coming this way. Get ready for that one. Yeah. I'm focusing on you, but I know I got to turn, and I got to get after you. And then using the environment to my beneficial, you know, activity there was big time for me, for sure.
Yep.
So this is a spoiler cast. Obviously, we're going to talk about gameplay and all these different things, but I do want to talk about story, and I do want to talk about what's happening in this game. And again, gloves are off. You should have known, blah, 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 blah. Talk to me about the secret society. I am at a detriment, right? Because I feel like people will play the game. There'll be guides to go find the secrets. They'll find all the things. I didn't find all my audio logs in this first playthrough. I did not get the trophy for find out the secret of Kalapas.
Yeah,
but I did.
Yes.
You know, I was telling you earlier, like, I am the guy who goes down every avenue and tries to find every vent. And like, sometimes you do the thing where you lock yourself out. You're going, I'm going to go this way. That can't be the main way. Oh, it was the main way. I can't get back to the thing I just missed.
Right.
But here, there was one, you know, where I went, I'm like, oh, what's that? And I went through a crack, and I went through a crevice, and blah, blah, blah. And suddenly I'm into this, like, secret underground bunker.
Secret
I'm listening
room.
To the thing, and it's like, obviously that comes back when, you know, the Duncan Cole, the warden, right, is talking about, like, I've been looking for the alpha, and we're trying to, you know, push humanity, as the doctor tells you, and stuff like that.
Yep.
What is the secret society?
Well, it's almost like... it's a group that is actually believe what they're doing is for good.
Sure.
Right? That they want to evolve mankind faster, that man can be something greater than he is today. So they're looking, and so what they think they found is something that can help you evolve to the alpha male.
Sure.
And They keep trying. They keep trying. you see that you come to patient zero?
Yeah.
And so this just happens to get a little loose, but the warden's kind of like, it's kind of an interesting experiment to see if I can find something that good comes out of this.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't delve too deeply into it. I want to go deeper, right? Let's pray for the sequel. but it is, you know, Knights Templar was the first idea, something like that.
Sure.
You know? Except these guys went a little bad and a little rogue. They do want their secret society to sort of at some point run more, right? They want to be more political than, say, Templar Knights.
Okay. And then I think I have it wrapped around, but I want to make sure. It all starts on the colony. That's where they find the alien. That's where they find the larva in it, right? And that's where the society starts too, or was the society?
No, the society was around.
Gotcha. That was my confusion. Okay.
You'll find out little tidbits here and there, but yes, it's sort of like you're wondering. The idea is like, oh, the warden was involved in it. Was anybody else? Was Mahler? Was it, you know? How deep does this go? Right, until you get to the end, and you see the holograms
I don't trust anything. I see the holograms at the end. Yeah, even Mahler, I don't trust. He's playing both sides of the equation.
Yep.
The best was like, she's like, I deserve to be here. I'm going to stay here. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, you do.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Do and at the end though, she's like, I might have another way. I'm like, all right, Mahler, what's going on?
I guess we'll jump right to the ending. I didn't want to rush to it, but yeah, that ending, like you talked about, if we get to a sequel, there is so many questions on my mind of like, where could we go, right? Like, there's a lot of moments Danny takes off in the escape pod, right? Yep. Now Danny has her own storyline of the circle is clearly going to be chasing after her and looking for her,
because
right?
what she's carrying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's got that.
Yeah.
Our guy, Jacob, is still on, you know, Black Iron there. Of course, now he might have a way out. And it's like, oh, this is exciting stuff of what could be.
Yep. Is Leon still alive? You know, did I really kill him or whatever?
Was that not him? That when Mahler's like, I might have another way, and she's distorted. I thought that was Whitworth's face that came through. Okay.
Yeah.
What's me? So he. for now.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think we open up Callisto 2, and he's like, your buddy.
Well, I gotta tread that very carefully.
Of course.
Because I want to give spoilers away. I don't want to spoil 2.
But, yeah. Not to mention what's going to change. That's always the hard part.
What we wanted was, did you see like him turn and go, man, what I have been doing for these years is has been wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and we wanted that to show too, a little bit of humanity, if you will. Like before he was like, I don't give a shit. And now he cares. Why that matters, we just wanted to make sure he was more human.
Well, I thought it was a great way of doing it where we, because you're on this and why is he there and what's happening and like to get to the end there and have the flashback, right? Where it's more than just the one throwaway conversation with Max.
Yes.
Of course, is like, you know, why don't you listen to me when he dies? It is a fact of like he did know what he had. He did have it there. Yep. And now he sees through Danny's eyes the loss of her sister. Oh. Her sister, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, Max is at the very beginning, he's almost foreshadowing the end.
Yeah. Well, that was what was so cool about today, you know, getting to restart the game with you guys after a
you get to see it, you go, oh, yeah.
A question I have for you is, you know, I talked in the stream about it, and we'll obviously tread ground, but go a little bit deeper than we did on the stream, I think, of the beginning is so action-packed, so fast, so let's get you the story, but get you into the gameplay. I found that jarring when I started playing it, when I was talking to Barrett in the car. Like, one of my criticisms, I think, with my wife and then talking to Barrett was like, oh, yeah, it's great. But, man, they just throw so much at you. There's this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. The more I played the Callisto Protocol, the more I liked and the more I got out of it.
Okay.
My question for you is, like, when you're making a game like this and you want to give them all that real quick and you have a story and you have all this under these things, these performances, right? But then you also have this new system of, you know, now we're blocking, now we're dodging and melee combating, right? Is there a concern of, we're talking about how you guys want to innovate, you want to be different, but repelling people instead of bringing them in? Like, how many people, I wonder, are going to play and be like, oh, this combat thing I don't like. And the story in the beginning, it seems like it was throwaway, right? Of like, we crash, we're there, we're in a prison, now we're fighting things.
Well, I hope they realize that, you know, you don't spend 3.5 years and the amount of money that we did and the amount of time and energy and just to have something throw away, that it's all leading up to something, that we have thought through every single thing. Did we get it all right? I assume here and there we'll find something. But that was to not alienate people. It was actually, we want to bring sci-fi fans into this too. So yes, you've got horror, and that's what you go after, right? But I don't want to alienate sci-fi fans who want to see a crash. I mean, or action fans who are like, hey, I'm afraid of being scared all the time. Well, like, hey, no, there's a little bit of everything in here. Yeah, it's a horror game. But we're straddling the line maybe a little bit more.
Sure.
Because it's a longer game than Dead Space. So there, I think Dead Space, in my mind, was 8 hours. And this is, what would you find?
My game clock, I think, said like 8.5. But with That's all my quick, deaths, dude. With all my deaths and restarts, I bet I put 12, yeah. 13.
My game, I want to say my game clock was around 9 hours, but I didn't believe it. My PlayStation clock also said 15 hours, but I know I was like leaving it on for some time, so I wouldn't say I was around 12, 13 hours.
That's exactly what we've been finding.
Yeah.
Some people it's going to take them 20 hours, and yes, some people are going to get it. Oops, in 8 or 9, but. When it takes test a while, we realize it's kind of a long game. So we wanted to have, bring people in with a different. I wanted a different opening than we had for Dead Space as well.
For sure,
just different.
One of the things I liked a lot about the game that actually took me by surprise, and it kind of goes back to what Greg was talking about in terms of the opening and how much the game throws at you, and how for me different it felt for a survival horror game, and how much it was not what I expected. When it was, hey, here's this baton, hey, here's this fighting system, you hold left to dodge left, you hold right to dodge right, you hold back to dodge to block, I was like, oh, these are fighting game systems. Like, this is actually way more of an action game than I thought it was going to be. And the more I played it, the more I was like, oh, this is like Punch Out, right? Where it is, I am waiting, I am dodging, I am counting, like I'm, you know, figuring out if I need to dodge 1, 2, or 3 times, and then fighting back, and then waiting for them to punch back. And that was the thing where at first I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. And by the 100%. End of it, I was like, oh, I understand this. This is really fun. This is really cool. And it created way more of an action-y kind of game vibe as opposed to what I'm used to from survival horror, which is count your bullets. You know, pray you don't run into an enemy right now because you don't have the means to defend yourself. What drove you guys to go that direction with it, make it more involved in the action?
Innovation, do something new. I mentioned it in the other show. It's like after finishing Resident Evil 4 back for Dead Space, I'm like, okay, time to walk and shoot, right? Just I can't take it anymore. I got to walk and shoot, right? And there was a lot of people were like, no, you're changing the game. I'm like, well, we have to, right? And so there was, there are times in survival horror games where I have nothing, right? And it bothers me. I'm like just running all the time. Or I just have a knife, which is pretty useless. So I was like, hey, let's have something that feels useful, but I'm still going to die. It's still survival horror, but it can be a little more action-y. But I'm still going to die, it's really just kind of where can we take it, right? Where can we take this game? Where can we take the future of horror? And quite frankly, I gotta say, some of it's just like, it's not even that conscious. You're like, yeah, I want to do more in your face. Some of it's conscious because I'll watch movies, which is just, it's in your face. So some of it is like people say, hey, how'd you get so brutal? Why'd you get so brutal? I'm like, I don't know. That just, we wanted to take it there. We wanted to show you something different. Push the medium.
Was there a prioritization of gore versus horror? Because I found that I wasn't as scared playing this game as many other survival horror games, but this game is gruesome as fuck, and I like it. I like seeing a lot of the death animations. In fact, like as I was playing, I was like, man, I kind of want more death animations. Like, I want to see the different ways in which you can tear the characters apart, right? Because like it is cutting off the face, stabbing him, cutting off the arms, and I'm like, this is actually really fun to watch. If for somebody who's sick as me,
there's a lot of people.
There's a lot of sick.
There's a couple movies. You ever see a movie called Martyrs? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like kind of a normal movie. It's French. And there's a couple scenes in the beginning where you're like, whoa, this is out there. Then it starts to be like a story movie, and they're telling you it feels intellectual. Then in the end, it goes straight to hell, right? In one of the most gruesome scenes I've ever freaking seen. And what it's,
oh, wait, I do remember this one.
Where they rip the skin off.
Yeah, right?
And you're like, holy, right? It's a different emotion. So when we're thinking of making video games, we're like, what emotion do we want these guys to feel? Shock, awe, something brand new, adrenaline rush. And then in some places, I do want it to feel like it's a roller coaster ride, like, you know, and because you don't get that in real life, right?
Sure.
You can get happy and sad like some of these other games where you're like, oh, that was fun and cool, but you don't get scary. You don't get shock, right, in real life, really, depending on where you are. But, you know what I mean? So the,
sure, for sure.
It's about difference.
You guys nailed that. It's right. I felt that. There's moments, like you talked about, as we're riding the roller coaster, there's moments where I go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that, right? The death animations are a big one. New creatures coming in and how they're displayed, how they're introduced, right?
Yep, yep, yep.
Man, oh, man, I'll tell you, going down that slip and slide through the sewers and making sure that I saw those death animations.
Dude, you hit the fan?
The fan was the top priority for me. And what I loved about playing earlier, you and I on the show with Greg, was like seeing some that I didn't see, right? The little larva guy. I never let that guy kill me because I was like, well, I'm playing the game. I'm not going to die right now. But the idea of seeing that because your team put in so much work into it and seeing the cool death animation that came from it, I was like, oh, man, I wish I just died to everybody now because there were some really cool ones. I liked the fan a lot. I loved that one. I liked the finale with the big final boss of like what he would do to Jacob and like the destruction that that would cause. I do want to know what were some of your guys' favorites because I never let the long neck guy kill me. I am disappointed. I never let
the guy who shot out and grabbed you, dragged you towards the hive.
Can I say something?
Cool.
Glenn, you and the team, that guy got me every single time.
Yeah, I would walk.
You gotta pay attention, Mike.
I'm looking at everything, right? It's a beautiful game. There's so much to it. And I missed, I swear
anytime,
to God.
Anytime I saw like a big, I don't even know what to call it.
Yeah, a big egg.
Any sack I saw, I was shooting it. I was like, no, I don't trust any sack in this building anymore.
And that was the thing for me too, where it was like, you know, you're talking about like, it's not the traditional survival horror. You know, Dead Space, I remember being like, I have one bolt and I need to get out to the save point, right?
Yeah.
This one I felt, again, not overpowered, but empowered, right? Where it was, oh man, there are a lot of eggs in here. I am going to shoot every one of them or I'll start stomping. But then it would get me where I would like, did I really do anything? Were any of these really going to pop? And then it's like that guessing game as you go.
And that's where we're hoping you use up some of your ammo.
Sure.
But you also remember that there's a wide variety of player. And so there are some players who, you know, came back and go, man, I had one bullet the whole freaking game. So there is this, you know, large gamut between what people do. But you say you didn't get too scared. Tell me the first time that the guy didn't grab you. The guy grabbed you. You had to jump.
Oh, like the long neck?
Yeah.
Oh, that got me a little bit. And that's the thing is there were moments. What I like,
what we need, just moments, because that's what builds attention.
Yeah, and that's what I like more. I think there is moments of tension that I liked where the first time you walk into the room and it's the dead guy and on the wall it says, shoot the tentacles.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, okay. Like, oh, what is about to happen? Like, those are the moments that hit me in the horror.
And that was the thing where I'm with Bless that I didn't feel like there's jump scares, right? But I wasn't scared. It was the tension this time around where it was so ratchet up. And thanks for bringing back. We danced around it on the stream because I didn't want to say it. But back to like, you know, I'm upgrading the stun baton and I'm feeling great with it. I'm feeling powerful. And eventually I get to that point where nobody is a threat in my head, right? I'm doing great. But then it was that now you started introducing the chess game of it where there's a spitter, there's a runner, and then there's the like a big bloater. And then, like, oh, okay, cool. And then it was, I've got that down. I've understand that part of it.
Yep.
Now they start doing the evolution thing where suddenly I can baton them all I want, but I got to shoot them in the chest.
I got to do it.
Or as I eventually did upgrade my baton to do the center shot, but you know what I mean?
Right. That's right. This is the first time we talked about the mutations.
Yeah.
I hope the first time you saw that, that was a little bit of shock. But yeah. And then there is a randomness that of the vent system or, you know, going down in something and they'll follow you and, here and there, you're going to be hopefully surprised enough that you think you're going to get through and you get that cockiness.
Is the vent system random? Is the vent system random?
It's not, I wouldn't say it's random. They want to follow you. Yeah, there's an AI system.
Gotcha. Because that's one of the things.
They really are. So you'll hear them, right?
Yeah,
you listen,
and that's what I loved. Oh. And there would be times where I would, yeah, go back and forth between areas. And there was one time where I was stuck, where I was like, I forget what I was looking for. I think it was the shoot them in the tentacles thing, where I had to like get the key from that guy, and I forgot, or I didn't even forget, I just didn't realize. And so I'm like walking around this area, I'm going back and forth between the two areas. And there was one time where I was walking back, and like one of the enemies came from the vent. I was like, oh shit! Like, and I didn't know if that was a planned thing or if that was a
random probably didn't kill him somewhere.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, he's probably following him.
Talking about getting lost in the environments and going down those secondary paths, right? Like,
yep.
I was really blown away by, you clearly hit the fork in the road. You see the hallway and you're like, that feels right, but this also feels right. But like, it was so inviting. You guys did a great job with the lighting and of course the sound, where it's like, ooh, I need
to started doing the thing. I'm like, all right, well, does the white light indicate main path and that yellow light indicate secondary or is it vice versa?
When I play a game too, I do the same exact thing. I'm like, I'm supposed to go there, but man, why? They built this.
Yeah.
There's a reason. I got to go see it, right?
Now, of course, we explored, and then we saw the underground bunker of the circle. Like, is there anything else that maybe we missed here? Is there something?
Well, I mean, again, there is a trophy for understand the, unwrap the mystery. I don't know what.
So is there cool pieces like the bunker? Is there more?
Well, I don't know how many, pieces of lore you got, or I don't know if you've. Some people explore them just to get more ammo. Right.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you got all the audio logs.
Yeah. I missed a couple, but my goal was to get them. At a certain point, I was like, man, I like these audio logs a lot, and the text to them too. Kudos to you and the team. Like you brought it up during our stream of like, not only is there the audio logs, but you can read up on this human being right here and learn more with that, which I really, really appreciated.
Good.
But yeah, that got me going down the side tunnels of like, I need more. I want more. Where am I going next?
Right. Good. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, please.
No, I was going to say, you try and put some depth in there. You try and get a reason to go in there. Because the funny thing is, some of them were like the later ones, and the team was so good. You know, after 3 years, they're like building this stuff. And I guess it doesn't, it all looks the same, but there's a newness to me. I see details that I'm like, oh, that's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. I want to double back and have a question here about what he's talking about. But before then, I want to remind you, of course, about patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get each and every episode of our shows ad-free. But guess what? You're not on Patreon. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool without breaking the bank this holiday season. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 shades for a fraction of the price and a fraction of that price during their holiday sales. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Dropped in the lake, off a cliff, anything, they'll replace them. The lost and broken coverage transfers to anyone you gift them to. They'll get great polarized shades and protection no matter what happens to them in the future. They stand by their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window and do what it takes to get it right. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use code KINDOFUNNY for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54 at ShadyRays.com. Using the code KINDOFUNNY, where you can find all their newest and best shades. Shout out to Factor for sponsoring this episode. We all got to eat, and sometimes having to prep that food is the one thing really getting in the way of your day. With the bustling holiday season well underway, ready-to-eat meal delivery can lend a helping hand. Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers to your door so you can enjoy chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals during the holidays minus the hassle. Plus, with 34 meals per week, including Gourmet Plus, Keto, Calorie Smart, Vegan Plus, Veggie, and 36-plus weekly add-ons, you'll have plenty of nutritious, flavorful options to choose from. Factor's cheaper than dining out and takeout. Plus, the money you save towards holiday fun and you time. And thanks to Factor's commitment to ingredients with integrity, you can enjoy flavorful, chef-crafted meals, guilt-free like their creamy Parmesan chicken and 3-bean vegan chili. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been here in the new studio, and you can too. Head to go.factor75.com/kindoffunny60 and use code kindoffunny60 to get 60% off your first box. That's code kindoffunny60 at go.factor75.com/kindoffunny60 to get 60% off your first box. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use, or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200+. That's right. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each and every month on subscriptions you don't even know about. There's this app we love using that takes care of that for us, and it is called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. The app shows all of your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't still want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. You can get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/kindafunny.
All right. So Glenn, getting into the nuts and bolts of this thing and how you built this thing, audio logs on the stream. I brought it up. Cardinal sin for me. I couldn't listen to them and walk around. I have to sit in the menu.
Yes.
No, you brought it. Same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Well then blessing what didn't see the stream yet because it hasn't gone live. Why is that?
Okay. Yeah, this is well, I mean, I think I said the reason sort of backwards last night, right?
This is your shit. This is the real deal. You had a rehearsal. I mean,
still made sense.
Actually getting it done the correct way and technology reason because these things aren't like, oh, we'll just walk around with it. Okay, does it hit the wall? Does it go through the wall? Does it go? Can I crawl with it? And it's smaller. What happens, right?
Yeah.
So if you say, hey, everywhere. I need to have collision because I want to see it. I mean, you're talking about a major technological thing. We would never let that get in our way if we thought it was the right thing. What I was worried the most about was we were dropping them in, and it was kind of stepping on some tension. So we would move them around, right? There's sometimes we're like, it's got to be right there. We want them to feel it right there. So we stopped, and we want you to read it. You don't have to read it.
Of course.
But that's the optimal place to do it. But, I found in testing, like I said before, it was like, oh, I'm shimmying and I'm still reading my audio. Like, I'm climbing up and like, no. And so then we started going, well, we'll make the other lug shorter. And we're like, no, that's not the right answer either.
Sure.
So we stuck with that. I think it's the right decision for the game.
You brought up a great point, too, that it's a place to catch your breath,
yeah,
which I hadn't thought about.
You know, thanks for reminding me. It is, we heard that loud and clear on Dead Space. I don't know how many people, that's the funny thing is, like, I feel like now, 14 years later, everybody in the world has played Dead Space. But let's go back 6 years. I didn't hear a lot. What I was hearing was, like, I loved it. I couldn't finish it. Or I had to watch somebody else do it. So I was trying to listen to a little of that. You want to... fix your mistakes.
Sure.
If they are one.
Sure.
I want to shout out really quick the audio logs. Never too long, though. Like, I always felt like I got a lot
digestible.
Out of it. But like, you know, someone who just played Metal Gear Solid 5, it wasn't like I'm bunkering.
Okay.
For a while. Like, it felt like, okay, these are never too long where, like you talked about, right? In nowadays, in 2022, I want my audio log to travel with me. I put it on my back pocket. It's playing while
it's
I'm walking,
there.
Right?
Okay,
sure.
Gotcha.
Like, in this, it never felt like it was dragging too long where it's like, man, you're really wasting my time here. I'm ready to get back into the action. It was like, hey, take a deep breath, listen to this, learn some more, and then go. And it never felt like it overstayed its welcome, which I
loved. And they were interesting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you were learning about the world,
yep.
Which is what we want to do. So, Scott, Eric, good job.
Here are my next two questions, then, about nuts and bolts stuff that piss me off. All right, piss me off about your game. As you already know, I'm a trophy whore. I want my trophies. I want my platinum. You also already know it's going to be an uphill battle on hardest difficulty for me, but we'll talk about that. Neither here
you
nor there.
You can do it.
My question is this. You have these great collectibles and audio logs in there. Why not have, after I beat it, a chapter select? So I can look and be like, oh, well, in this act, in this, you know, this chapter, right, aftermath, I didn't get X, Y, and Z. I can restart it, go through, and find them. It has to be a perfect playthrough to get them all.
Yeah, I kind of want you to go back in and
I want you to replay the game. Okay.
Well, I mean, because if you've missed stuff, You know, and I know that you didn't upgrade your weapons all the way, or you didn't, you know, that.
Okay, first off, hey, I did. I got one of them upgraded all the way. Got the trophy okay, for that. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah. But we think that most people aren't going to get all the beta paths either. So a lot of people are going to be going through and just getting through. A lot of people aren't, we're seeing this, aren't reading all the audio logs.
Sure.
So we kind of wanted to leave this, go play again, man. You know, like, we can make it easy. Maybe we'll do it someday if we hear about it. But one does not make a reason to do it.
But it's like, you know, then I got to go through and even the ones I got before I got to get again. It's okay, kind of have to have the checklist there and I'm going to have the power picks guide up to go do this. And that, again, totally a reasonable thing. I don't like it. I'm telling you.
He just needed to take it off.
And in the same vein, why no new game plus? Was it the idea that you want me to go through and use different weapons or try like not to have everything?
Kind of. There will be. We'll see.
Well, then I will wait. Then I will. I will wait to try to fight him at that. All right.
I have a question for you, Glenn. We talk about innovation, you and I, during our stream, right? And I want to talk about looting these bodies, right? And the idea of like looting these corpses. Was there a conversation of like, let's get away from that, right? Like, drop the Callisto credits, the health packs. I understand, but like, you know, I'm stomping all these monsters just for 5 bullets or 25 Callisto credits. What's the balance like when we talk about survival horror, we talk about horror in general, me looting some dead guy's pockets there. Was there ever a conversation of like, let's ditch that and let's not do stomp, stomp and grab, grab?
Yeah, but you're going to find later, right, that you need to stomp. You need to stomp those guys or they're going to come back and mutate. So we were trying to get you a little bit used to doing some of that.
Yeah.
And then again, it's like, why make it easy on you, right? I mean, go through the game. And we're finding people who just don't want to stomp. Right? They don't want to, you know, and we're like...
Who are these monsters? Who are these monsters? Satisfying, especially
when you like the stomp.
Yeah. You kill these people and they got too much of your health. Like, you motherfuckers. I've already got the credit. I'm just stomping the stomp.
I have never gotten tired of the stomp.
I'll be real. I was waiting for somebody to like wake back up after I killed them. And it never happened because I stomped every single time.
Stomping all the time.
And there are a few of those. Yeah. There's a few that wake back up.
Yeah, and I didn't catch it. I like the stomp, stomp, grab, grab. Right? I like that every single enemy has some sort of like thing that they're dropping because it was the tension of, you know, certain areas where I there were certain stretches where I used the shotgun as my main weapon, right? Like that was my thing.
Yep.
And
the big one or like the mini one?
The big one.
Okay, the big one's and badass.
The mini one I'll have is my backup just in case.
Okay,
But the big one I for sure had all the time, but there was a stretch where I had 0 shotgun bullets and it was stressful. And I was like, I need these shotgun bullets. And every single time I stomped somebody in that section, I was like, all right, you better have the bullets I need. Please have the bullets I need.
Well,
and I like that tension, right? I like the idea that every single moment I was like, please give me this thing that I need.
Yeah. I mean, there are games where I have to loot. You continue to loot the body. And sometimes I got to go back because I'm not sure that I have or not. Right.
For sure.
And so I do it 3 or 4 times. That bothers me. But knowing that I've done it once, I'm okay with that.
Well, that was always the most satisfying thing for me of like, you know, I was telling you earlier and being quiet about it, right? No pun intended. How much I like the stealth sections.
Yes.
And how when you guys introduce, I don't know the official one, but your clickers, your Last of Us clickers,
the blind that can't see,
they can only have that great hearing.
Yep.
Like, I like how much the game builds it up of like, these guys are next fucking level. And I got in there, I was like, oh. I'm sighing of relief as I slowly creep around, stabbing.
But I would kill
everybody, right? And then come back and stomp, 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 yep, stomp, 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 stomp the entire room that I killed.
Right. They're hard at first, right? They're
hard.
Yeah.
I would take those guys out and immediately stomp. Like, I wouldn't wait to take them out.
Well, it's that thing of, like, I don't play Glenn games the way he wants me to play them, where, do you see this death? I'm like, fuck no, I'm trying not to die. So it was, like, a while. It was, like, I think I knew I was at a checkpoint. I'm like, wait, if I'm in crouch and I kill the quag or the blind and I stomp them to the others here and I did it and they didn't, I was like, okay, game changer.
Go bless.
It sounds like we're sharing a lot of our grievances here, at least Greg.
Okay, for sure.
How often do we get
share,
the
I'm gonna
the
share positive before you get to your grievance.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Let me hit a positive note really quick.
Yo, y'all brought me here to roast me about my game?
On the blind, right? I love, we talk about the layers of adding things nice and subtly, of like learning more what you can do in the playground, right? I loved in some of the stealth sections, right, that you could play stealth. I would line myself up right in front of the big environmental cue where you can just whip them into the fence, right?
Yep.
And I would see all three of them, and I'm like, here it comes. And I'd shoot one, and they'd look at me, and I'm like, come here. And I'd just go one after another, just push them into the fence. I loved that. Changed my gameplay for me, right, when you're on the big drill carts, and I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what am I going to do? They're everywhere. And then I'm like, wait up a second. And I walk up to the edge, and I'm like, come here. And then I just throw them off the side, and then I do that one. Yep. And then I know, okay, they're coming from the left. Go over there. Like, I loved that. I'm thinking, how do I do this better? And then the audio as well. We talk about the two-headed monster, right? And I believe it's the second one or the first one. I don't know. The one where there's the long corridor, right?
Yep,
and I can hear his homies coming from the vents. And I'm like, all right, you're going to be two steps behind me. I'm seeing him. I'm about to turn and get you. Let's go.
Loved all that.
So I wanted to praise you for that because that was so much fun.
That section where you were like, you're on the tram and like you have all the monsters climbing up. That's one of those sections where at first I was like, oh no, here we go. Like, it reminded me of playing like other survival horror games that would do the same thing. And those games don't really give you the facilities to deal with those scenarios, I think, as effectively and as empowering. Whereas in this one, by the time I got to my fourth or fifth try, I was like, no, I got this. Like, this is just a puzzle. Like, I just got to figure out how to solve this puzzle. You give me all the crates. All right, I need this many of the grip power things. I need, like, this many shotgun bullets. As soon as the first wave comes up, I know all of them are going to be on the edge. So I'm just going to shotgun them until they come out. When they're climbing, I'm going to fucking grip them, throw them off. And, like, that process was a really fun one.
You're talking about the little tram. This is an homage to RE4.
Oh.
Was it four? Cool. It was four. Where they're climbing all over.
But it was a game changer for me too in terms of wrapping my head around it and using grip. I hadn't been investing in grip. I was like, I don't usually end up using the TK stuff, but it was there where I was using the very front. There's like a big backboard. Just grab them, boom, grab them, boom. Yep. And the
fire canisters, of course, right? Like, I'm playing around thinking of where I am, and then I grab that thing and I'm holding it. I'm like, this is so freaking cool. And then I throw it at someone. I'm like, that was awesome. I loved that.
Now, to my grievance, right? Talking about combat.
Yes.
was there ever like a consideration for a weapon wheel? I know, like, part of it is probably the tension, right, of, like, trying to switch your weapon while you're mid-combat and, like, kind of making the player have to take their time with it.
Yeah, and reality and, you know, just, I don't even, this is, some of these things that we put in are, what we put in from the beginning, right, and you, everybody agreed, so you just kind of like, yeah, that's the way to do it. So there wasn't much of a discussion around that.
Were you using enough weapons? And sorry to shut you up, Mike. Shut you up, Glenn. Blessing. We haven't actually talked about what loadouts were. Were you using enough guns where it would have helped you? Because for me, it was, I'm all in on the riot stick. All right, well, I have a pistol, upgrade that. And then I finally invested in the shotgun. But those were outside of, you know, grip, my weapons. So for me, it was always like, all right, I like shotgun here, so I'm using shotgun the whole way through. And then occasionally it would be, I have to hit left on the D-pad. But I never was like, I have so many weapons I'm using at once. I needed the wheel.
I got to a point where it just became a thing of ammo management where I don't know what I was doing. Maybe I think part of it was whenever I got the reticle pop up when you are like, you know, you're mashing and then it pops up. I'm using that thing every single time. I love the mechanic. But I think because of that, I was using a lot of ammo, right? And so like there were moments where probably one of them being when you're outside and you are like, there's the guy that's talking to you on the intercom and like you have all the enemies coming at you. That was one of the moments where I was like, oh, I could use as much ammo as possible right now, right? I am switching between multiple weapons where it was my shotgun, it was my like shotgun pistol, and then it was like the smaller pistol that I had.
Were you doing that just because you had that all that different ammo, or were you doing that because you thought this is a cool way to do it?
I was doing it because I had like those. That's the ammo that I had available to me, and it was the strategy of, all right, the guys that crawl on all fours, I know how to take them out. But then, like out of nowhere, like would come like one of the runners, right? I'm like, now I got to manage. So it was that thing of managing my area, but then also kind of having to use my guns because their tentacles popped out, and I need to take them out before the tentacles thing.
Goddamn those tentacles!
I rotated between four guns.
Holy shit!
I did a lot of rotation. I really loved the animation of switching from the pistol to the shotgun, and we added on the 3D printed out effect. Yep. I thought that was really cool.
Good.
And I was going to say, when we do our review, I'm going to remind everybody, always reload. Have all those guns
reloaded. Dude.
Nothing hurts more
than the amount
than
of fucking
click,
times it clicks.
And you're like,
God
no!
damn it. You turn around trying to
reload. The amount of times I thought I reloaded and I didn't reload because like you switch weapons and he does the thing where it's a pistol, but it's another pistol, so he replaces it.
Yeah, you got to
like,
replace
cool.
it. You got to
reload. And then I get in a battle, I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, don't complain about that one because that is.
That's on me.
That's
on
a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's like, click. Oh, shit. That is from, that's straight up horror.
But I was using my weapons a lot. I found myself doing that, switching on the fly all the time. And I like
that's
that.
Cool.
And, yeah, that's using great. Them for great. Different situations. Yeah. I will say, you know, we talk about the loot, we talk about the money and the option to go to the 3D printer, right?
Yep.
Y'all got me. Because I'm doing the Greg now where I'm excited to upgrade. I'm spending money left and right.
Right.
And then I get to the final two, like, upgrades, which is the assault rifle and I believe probably, like, the sheriff's pistol. I never saw. I missed one.
Okay.
So that was the thing because yeah, I didn't have it. Any money. Yeah. And I was like, you missed that, Mike, and I was upset at myself.
That's why you got to go play again.
I was selling ammo at one point, which is also why I didn't have much ammo.
Yeah,
I was like,
you were selling ammo. You're wild.
Because the ammo, it's wild. Worth a lot. Like, the ammo, yeah. Like, some of the ammo, like, a full pack is like 100. Yeah, 100 okay. credits.
Oh, I was only selling like the expensive stuff. I kept ammo, energy, and health.
I'm such a curmudgeon about the money and a penny pincher that I was like, I only want these two weapons or three with the grip, and because I want to get them as high. I'd rather invest in them than spread it out and go. But there was the time where it was the fucking third two-headed monster, where I was, and this is before I understood the real mechanics, because I've just shot all these to death.
Yeah,
I fought them all to death. I've never used, you know what I mean? And I was just like, I was telling you earlier. Instagram open, just clicking, yeah, clicking. Make as much shotgun. I spent $2,000 on shotgun ammo. Yes. Just right. To be like,
maybe that's what
go.
I should have done. Because I wasn't min-maxing. And like I do like the idea that it seems like you can't, I mean, it sounds like you did min-max in this game.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that either. I think I was more closer to Mike and how I played, where I was spreading the love equally between my weapons. But I was like, the shotgun is my main, but I never got it all the way up until the very end of the game.
Yeah, of course.
But I did like
that's
that.
That's when I was like,
but
oh, well,
I
clearly
I'm hearing this,
plus.
Man. You all three had a different way you played.
Sure.
Right? And there have been other games I've made where it's just like, no, this enemy's coming at me. I'm going to do this to him. Right? And everybody, like 90% of the people do the same thing. And or pick the same weapon. Even though you did, it was later in the game.
Yeah.
All right. So
I mean,
you're,
for what they're talking about, I never
yourself.
Saw this pistol into a shotgun.
Oh,
I didn't do that. I had a shotgun.
Yeah.
Pistol,
yeah.
And that
yeah.
Was it.
So,
and that kind of goes back to my weapon switching thing, which is like, yeah, when you switch, you press left on your D-pad to switch between like your big weapon and your small weapon, but that doesn't take into account like the different kinds of pistols.
Yeah.
So when you're switching a pistol, you have to click right and then
scroll through the up and down.
And then
yeah.
he does the thing. And it's hard to do when you are
that
in
makes
the
sense.
Middle of
that.
That
makes
yeah.
way
right.
more sense.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't
what
right.
Some people will. That's what.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I got that off a few times and I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
it was difficult
good.
Other times.
I have a question. You know, Greg talks about just buying endless ammo, and I did that as well, Greg. After the third two-headed monster, I was like, you know what? I'm coming at you with a whole lot of ammo, and I sat there and spent $1,500 on it, right? That whole process, you know, we talk about the health injector as well, right? I'm running for my life, and the big dude's coming. I don't have enough time to cut that off.
Exactly.
There were some moments where I put the health injector in,
dude,
and I would panic, right?
The fucking tension of doing it, and I see the two-headed guy coming. I'm like, come on.
You would break it. You would break the animation by swinging your weapon because I had to get out of it, right, to run. Yeah. Was there ever a conversation of like, I just press down on the D-pad, he quickly does it and run?
Oh,
was
yeah,
there
sure.
ever a conversation of,
stomp,
I'm at the 3D.
Stomp, Mike. Stomp and get the health out of the
I'm at
the
3D printer
dude,
and
how many
I just click
times
it,
it
and it's done.
You spend the injector and then you stomp somebody and there's the 35% health. I'm like, you
that's
motherfuckers.
Why I stopped,
God damn it.
Yeah, I'm not using the health injector mid-fight. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Well, it wasn't even mid-fight. It was just later. I was pissed off about it.
Yeah, I mean, none of it is like, put the health, you know, put it in and just, I don't know. 10 seconds. It was endless. Like I said, you know, these guys were in there and really, really tuning it. I mean, like I said, Ben left no stone unturned when he gets into the little tiny nuances, right? And then when we would start to play, he'd go, try this out or try that. Oh, I did this, right? And so there is nothing in there that's like arbitrary or maybe it's just time. We hope we get it right, but we're trying to think about the really good player and the really bad player and how they can get around. We want everybody to try and play the game, right?
Sure.
But we want it to be hard for everybody, but then there's a way out for others. So there's so much thought that goes into these.
Question about level design, right? Like I think there's a joke that goes around in video games, right, where you run into an area and they're dropping all the ammo and all the health, and you're like, oh, I'm about to go into a fight, right?
Or
like,
down.
Oh, in Naughty Dog games, right, you see like a bunch of cover, and you're like, okay, I'm about to get into a fight. For me, in Callisto Protocol, it was seeing the yellow spiked walls and me going, okay, there's going to be enemies that are going to come through here. Is that something that you guys take into consideration? Is that something that you guys like, oh, no, this is a warning to the player, like, we don't mind it? Or are there ways in which you guys try to get around cluing in the player about what's about to happen?
Yeah, I mean, there are places where there aren't any enemies. Or, you know, So there's a couple, but not as many. We talked about that, and some of it was like so that here and there you could go, okay, let me back up. I saw a 3D printer. I'm going to go back. I'm going to change my loadout. I'm going to go back in. Or we wanted you to get ready for not using a weapon and going, hey, I'm going to use a grip on this thing, right? We gave you sort of that. We talked about that, like, hey, are we giving it away? But, you know, just the fact that you have a big room sometimes gives it away, right? Like, hey, I'm walking into a big room, probably three, four dudes.
Yeah.
It
ain't gonna happen. Like spinning machines with spikes on them. I wonder if I can fight anybody.
So it's you can't hide everything.
Okay. Here's a question I have that's in line with this, and also we touched on it outside. For me, this the first one where I was like, oh, it's about to go down, was the tram we were talking about earlier, right?
Okay.
Where I walked in and I was like, oh, man. All these loot boxes. I'm going to get so many pristine converters. And I pop it. I'm like, ammo. Okay, pop next on ammo and grip. I'm like, oh, shit, it's about to fucking go.
Yeah, it's about to go.
And it was that thing where I sat there and meticulously dropped my grips, got my guns, did this thing. And I'm like, all right, let's go. Started the thing, died, checkpointed before I did any of that.
Right.
Came back in, did the whole thing, died, checkpointed before I did all that. In this instance, felt like I fought you guys, the designer, because I kept trying to do it my way. And finally, I was like, let go, let God, and get in there. And this is where I was like, oh, grip, throw. I should be doing it this way, not my way.
Right, right.
What is, because this is, not, and I use complaint loosely. The game's great. You know that. Or I hope you know that. I'm telling you right now. Thank you. I had a great time with the game. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see where it goes. But one of my complaints was some of the other checkpoints that were like, I'd fight through the room, stealthily kill everybody, reset all the way back. What is this? And it's not every checkpoint by any stretch of the imagination, but there's certain ones that I had problems with. Yep. What is the science to that? I mean, do you guys feel like you nailed it every time? Like, or like, how do you figure out what a player is doing with a checkpoint?
So it's a really good question. And checkpoints are really important to us. It may not seem it sometimes to you, but it totally does.
At no point was this lazy developers. Or, I don't know what they're fucking doing. Okay. I knew there was a reason you did it.
No, we got, you know, we'll spend a couple months just, okay, diet all the checkpoints. I said to you earlier, and I don't mean to be just kind of flippant, there are no rules, right? And so I feel like if we do the same thing at all these different junctures, you will kind of predict it. All right, I'm going to do my thing here. And every once in a while, we're going, you're not going to do your thing, right?
We're going to do our thing to you.
And that's why I said to you earlier is like, it's okay to die three times here. Yeah. And we'll talk about it. Like, what do you think, three, four? Yeah, let them do that, right? And then we'll go, but make the others two. You know, the couple around it, make it two. But it's just, do we get them all right? I mean, I don't know, but we spend a lot of time thinking about it, and we spend a lot of time, like, again, horror is changing it up to me. It's not just scaring the hell out of you, but it's like going, you kind of predicted this is going to happen. And, you know, we would do that here and there in Call of Duty.
Yeah, sure.
In different ways.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want the player just going, I know what I'm doing, you know? You're like, yeah, you think
that would get boring for the player and the developer and everybody else.
I want to bring up something. The cool security robots.
Yeah.
I touched on it on the stream. I was yo, these guys make a statement right off the bat. They're very, very cool looking. I thought they were some of the coolest in the game. I really, really, I liked that. I identified with that. What's up? We didn't fight them, really. I mean, like, there was a trophy to kill one, but most of the time it felt like, oh, they're indestructible. You avoid them. You don't go over there. Like, what's up? We didn't want to say, hey, this is the main enemy in the game now. Like, why did it feel like they were kind of in the background?
You can't kill them. We didn't put them as much as I think the original plan was, because what we found was they're made out of metal. There's no blood. It was feeling like when I go after them, it's a little. It's not a hard game as much. Yeah, they create that tension, and we wanted that. Again, it was. Every once in a while, and I like to do this, is like, yeah, we're going to spend a lot of money on a lot of time, a lot of effort, and you're only going to see it twice. you do that, right? And I see that with other developers. And when I see a Naughty Dog or somebody else do that, that gets me. I'm like, dude, you built that thing and I only saw it once?
Yeah.
You bastard. I got to get that. You know, I love that. I love when we do something like that.
Well, this is another one to jump back that I totally blew past, and I bet a lot of people do as well, or will. You were talking about, or Mike asked the great question of, hey, you get all these audio logs and these faces, yes. And who are these pieces, and blah, 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 and you're like, oh, they're actors, and yada, yada, yada. And the fact that those people's faces are the grunts or the dead people in the levels.
Yes,
you
yes.
could find them, those yes, people. Yes. It's not just a rinse and repeat. Here's a generic white guy in a helmet. It's like you went through and made those. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, what's his name? Ransom or something. You get his thing, and he's like over the. He's right next to you, right near you. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the audio logs because it did tell the story of that person, right? And I thought it was really interesting. Of like, you pop up. And you see, oh, this person's got 3 audio logs, but I've only gotten 1. Or, like, it goes from a blacked-out face, you have no idea who they are, to now you see them. Or then all of a sudden, maybe you get the last one, and it says deceased across the front of it, right?
Yes,
and you're like, oh, okay, like, that's really cool. I liked that kind of storytelling through
that. Good,
and the status unknown, like, if you didn't know.
I thought that was really, really cool.
Good. Scott is going to be beside himself hearing that.
Oh, heck yeah, Scott.
Yeah, because we're, like, in horror, how much do you want to hear the story? And what I love is that it is almost like, you know, in Dead Space, we wrote stuff on the walls. We had the other language. This was, we went deeper on the stories of these people.
Yes.
So, love that you spent the time to do that. Yeah.
Another question. Please? I got, I was listening to some interviews about you before we all got together. We talked about Dead Space and they were talking about all like the titles of each mission and then they spelled out.
Yeah.
I think one of your family members' names or something like that.
I don't want to go that far.
Now,
but,
what is the deal with the, is there anything like that I should be looking for when I replay this of, because there's some really great moments where it's like aftermath, right? And then it sets the tone. Should I be deciphering any of this right now?
That particular one, this time, no. Okay. We did it, right? And we're like, the first one, I'm like, that's dumb, right? It's like, and then it was like, okay, what do we want to spell? And then we do it, and by the time you figure out that I'm going to do it all, you know, you're like, okay, the writer's going to spend 4 to 5 days on it. You know, like, we got to work on the other stuff. We'll come back to it. We just, the truth is, we couldn't get anything as deep.
Okay.
As that.
Okay.
And what we found was people understood that right away, first day, first hour of Dead Space, right? But it was okay for Dead Space. There was a couple things that we tried to do, and we're like, can't give that away in the first hour. Because that hit the internet like this, right? Nicole's dead, right? But that was sort of the twist this year.
Okay. Good, because I was getting ready to write down everything and start circling.
Go ahead, try it. Maybe you can come up with something.
I got halfway through it. I saw
the internet will come up with its own.
Yeah, oh, I know. I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then one more, talking about world building and, you know, the whole world itself, all the posters and the different pieces of lore there. What were some of your favorites? Because you and I and Greg, we got to talk about, like, you know, the fun one in Call of Duty, all of a sudden you're on a poster, right?
Yeah.
Is there anyone that sticks out to you that we might see or find?
You know, I don't think there's one in particular. I like the aggregate of them in Mindtown.
Okay.
In the mining camp, they're actually to help you get through. That's a pretty intense place to get through, up, down, you know, stairs and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. So they, I think they help bring the whole thing to life. I'm like, oh, people really did live here. That's like maybe one of the most, as I go deep. I wouldn't say in particular, there are a couple that I really like because in the beginning it was like, okay, that's where they need to go. Right. Some of them are there. They're a little bit bigger, a little bit more colorful. You know what? You know what you want to do? Like, you're right. You're right. You know, the one as you get into my town and it's way at the, and it says, you know, the mine town, it's the big one in the back of the, we used it in one of our, trailers. I just love how that was spent a lot of time on it. It's sort of in the background, but you go, wow, that must have been a bigger colony there. So, okay.
Right. Okay.
I got a 2-part question. Talking about story and talking about world, earlier on you mentioned that you wanted sci-fi fans to be into this as much as horror fans, right?
Yeah,
you kind of wanted to pull from both of those worlds. I guess my first question is, what were the inspirations in terms of developing a sci-fi world, right? Were there any things that you, any games, movies, novels, whatever that you looked toward in building this world? And then also, is this a world that you want to expand on more in terms of it feeling like a bigger, wider universe? Because I was very impressed by the time I got to the end of the game, and I actually was invested with, okay, there's multiple planets here. There's different people at Forge. There's aliens that the warden's answering to, like, to figure out, like, what's going on here. Is that something you want to explore further in terms of expanding the world out?
I would like to make the world bigger. Yes. I don't know how big. I mean, I've always been a fan of Mass Effect or Star Wars, where they're building a big world out. I don't think we're gonna do, hey, I'm going to Europa and there's, like, you know, aliens from other place. But yeah, you always want to kind of expand out a little bit. But this one needed to be personal because the combat's personal. The whole thing felt personal. So I got to see how I feel about it, because when you get too big, it doesn't feel.
It sounds like you got to make a Western RPG. You know.
Well, no. I don't know how I can make that scary. I don't know. I couldn't make that personal, right? I think that's why you don't have, like, hey, we're gonna have a scary movie and it's like out in the streets, you know. Maybe you do here and there. I did like this movie called Monsters, but I don't know how scary it was. But it was good.
I do think it's worth pointing out you're expanding the universe, and we've talked about hopefully a sequel, and in the stream we're even talking about hopefully, you know, just a universe like we're talking about.
Yes.
There already is a podcast, a scripted podcast, right?
Yes, like, there is.
The Helix Station. Yes. Closer Protocol Helix Station. Yes. It's got I'm going to forget her, but the woman from Game of Thrones.
Yep, I forget her name.
Brianna. I'm not a big Game of Thrones.
I'm not a big
Game
of Tarth. Okay.
The big woman. She's the main character.
I thought you were ringing the bell. Yep. Shame, my bad.
No.
I thought you were ringing the bell. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's got some good voice actors in there.
Gwendolyn Christie? Is that who we're looking for?
Thank you, Gwendolyn Christie.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, we awoke. It. We did. Man, we did.
Yeah,
it.
Wow.
I have fucked up names before. I'm like, we're not even good to you. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Stroke. What are you eating right now? But it's cool that, like, it's already expanded that far that you're doing.
Oh yeah, and I've gotten people tweeting back. Hey, I want to play on that. You know,
sure.
And you know, we'll see. It. We just like to expand out the universe.
I can't wait to, like, in the next if there gets to be a next game, right? Like, fly to another planet, and then all of a sudden it's PUBG. And then PUBG's happening.
Oh, there we go.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about that. Yeah, you're originally in that universe, right? And then they just are like, you know what? This is too big. Go be your own thing.
Okay. That sounds good. Truthfully, what happened was when we came on, I'm there a little bit, and at some point they're working with PUBG became so popular, as we all know, that, you know, they're like, wow, we need a story here. We need a better story than what was here. So they're starting to write a story, and they're putting a timeline together, and they're building this all out. I mean, they got some top Hollywood writers working on this thing. And they said, do you think that you could fit on the timeline? And I'm like, well, I'm 300 years later.
Yeah, I think I could probably be okay.
I'm like, okay. And then, you know, wasn't paying a lot of attention. Now, we did have a couple of things in there that we left in.
Oh, there's references. Yeah.
But,
Can you tell me some of those references?
Well, there's the local. Yeah, there's the Kallipolis logo. You're going to see that in other games coming up.
Okay. Yep.
And at some point, you know, I just went to CH and I'm like, hey, you know, we haven't been really paying attention to the timeline. We got freaking aliens. We got monsters, you know, up the wazoo.
Yeah.
And
why
it does
yourself into the corner.
Can we just, that was it. It was just like, can I just take that? Cause people were getting confused. Is it a PUBG game? Is it Battle Royale? Is it this?
Yeah,
we're like, no, we're our own thing. And he was just like, yeah, sure.
Awesome.
He's like, let the creative handle it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
While we're talking about Easter eggs and things, the one that I screenshotted and immediately sent to Andy Cortez, I did break embargo, but kind of funny. Come on, he works here. You know what I mean? Was there, shout out to whoever on your team did it, the Office reference. There's an Office, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, you know your game so well, I love it.
Most creatives, sometimes they don't know anything about
it. Well, there's some things that I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. But threat level Aphelion?
Yeah. I don't know that well. Somebody had to explain to me.
Yeah, of course. Threat level Midnight is Michael Scott's book, or his screenplay in The Office.
Yeah, I love when they do that. Yeah. As long as he doesn't always have my name on it.
Sure. And NBC doesn't sue you or whatever. Yeah. We're winding out of time, Glenn. The one question I wanted to have and I wanted to expand on now that we can talk about what actually it was and what's happening right there was we talked about the fact that you, I think, turned this game around so quickly, right? 2019, studios announced and you start cranking
June,
out.
June,
right?
Yep.
Here we are, 2020, we're playing the game, it's out. One of the things we've talked a lot about this is the camera angle, how intimate this is, the fact that it's in your face, and yada, yada, yada. Did that mean that you stayed away from big moments? And I'm not at all the intro, big moment. Sliding down the sewer, a big moment. And for the one I liked the most, and when I thought about this three-dimensionally, was falling off the launch pad, right?
Right.
When you get shot and you fall and you're separated, like an amazing moment. Was that because you wanted those to be exclamation marks that stood out to me? Or was it like, hey, we got to turn this game quickly, so let's keep it corridors. Let's keep it small.
Yeah, good question. Subconsciously, maybe some of it.
Sure.
I know I know one or two places where they were like, hey, we could do this. And I'm like, it doesn't feel right, right?
Yeah.
So I would rather, do the right thing than like there were some times where hey we had this plan and we were going down it and didn't want to add I just spent 10 years in Call of Duty, we were blowing up everything right and I mean really they were just like okay Michael Bay and I wanted to go back to Ridley Scott which is like kind of less is more but do it right so things like the water slide things like going off the top of the building, or even the front intro, takes so much time. And not that I didn't want to do more, but it's like, let's just get them right, man, and then get the combat right. Just get these things right. If we want to add something else back, it just didn't feel like there was the right place for it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then my final question, and I think I kind of have it, but I want to know for sure, spelled out. Why did the warden want Jacob? He crashes, Sam Witwer shows up, is a friend, but then gets, I say Sam Witwer, Captain Leon Ferris shows up and does the whole like, what's that? Okay, sir, come with me. And then at the end, right, it's so for me so great of credits, restart the game, see it all happen again.
Yep.
At the end, there is this conversation with Warden Cole, and he is like, I'm looking for the alpha, I'm looking for a survivor. They all call him a Latin word, Victus, a survivor or whatever. Did he see that because he crashed and he was like, okay, I've been watching you or because you survived this or just because you're here, let's try it?
Well, we haven't gone extremely deep on that, but I think the discussion is more around...
hold on, don't cover your... Get close.
Sorry.
I'm thinking, shooting the shit at the bar.
Sorry, I've been in the building for a long time. The warden knew that he wasn't perfect, that he knew like that he was almost gun running for them for a while.
Sure.
And so I think he thought he belonged there.
Okay.
He belonged in the prison where Jacob was like, I don't belong here. And he's like, yeah, you kind of do. And then I think that because, everything hit the fan sort of when he arrived, both him and Leon were kind of blaming him. So, why don't you use him as a guinea pig? I think we're going to dig deeper into that
if we
get the sequel. But, there's this, like you said, where Leon goes, like, why did everything happen when you landed?
And
did the warden have something to do with that?
Huh. Okay.
So right. not even everything is answered, right?
For sure. And that's how you want it.
We leave a couple open. For ourselves. Yeah. We have to.
All right.
Yeah. That's a really good question. I haven't heard that one.
That's why I'm here. Well, have you had a lot of spoiler casts yet? Have a lot of people rolled credits on this?
You know what I was
going to
say? I don't think I've heard any of these. You're right.
Yeah. Glenn, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Man, wow. Good stuff. And thank you for playing. Really do appreciate it. So,
thanks for making the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rad game.
Wow. Thank you.
So I just started swinging. Oh, hey, I didn't see you come in. How was that? A lot of fun, right? A lot of good answers there. I love Glenn. What a character. What a great guy. And, of course, the fact that he comes in and he'll be so frank about their design decisions. That's always exciting for me as a fan of his games. And just a fan of talking to people about making games because, I don't know shit, everybody. That's this episode of the Kind of Funny Gamescast. Yes, you will be getting another episode of the Kind of Funny Gamescast this week. We will, of course, be talking about our final game award announcement predictions. That'll be the one, of course. Then, of course, we're reacting to the Game Awards this week, so make sure you watch it live with us. Yada, yada, yada. Do me the same solid I ask everybody. I know I might be talking about this, and you're watching this in February 2023, right, when you've beaten the Callisto Protocol. Once you listen to this podcast, and you listen and finish the spoiler cast, please tweet me, at GameOverGreggy, and tweet me, pudding, 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 and then I'll know, oh, they just listened to the Callisto spoiler cast. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.